Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we are loaded up for this hour. I'd like to have a little bit of fun, maybe some lighter topics. We're not going to start lighter, but I will tell you that Dallas Goldtooth is going to swing by. He's an actor, Native American actor, who is in a show on Apple TV+. I've watched a portion of the pilot, The Last Frontier, with Jason Clark and Alfre Woodard. It's got a good cast. He's in town to promote the show. I think Dallas lives in Chicago, which is one of the reasons he's kind of doing a Midwest swing. John Pertzborn, who's become a friend over the years, Fox 2 anchor, is retiring next Wednesday. I thought it'd be nice to have John on because he's a fan of this show. I'm a fan of him and what he's done. He's got some Wisconsin ties, so he connected with me real early when I was in the market because he knew that I was up in Milwaukee. By the way, to qualify something that Frank said, he said, "I know you're a Brewers guy." Let's clarify that and be very clear. I spent 9.5 years working for the Brewers flagship. My wife is a Milwaukee native. And yes, I will root for the Brewers when the Cardinals are not involved. But I am a Cardinals fan, first and foremost. I'm not walking around with Brewers gear around St. Louis.
That's
just want
fair.
To make sure that
yeah,
my daughter, however, does wear a little bit of Brewers gear. I have no control. That's my wife's influence. But no. But I mean, I can root for the crew because I love the story. It's a smaller market. They've never won a World Series, mainly thanks to the Cardinals dashing their hopes all those years ago. Anyway, Dallas is coming. John Pertzborn plus an audio cut of the day. And even though I kind of lied and said we go light on Fridays at 5, we're not going to today because Brian Kilmeade is with us. We had a big meeting with Trump and Zelensky earlier today. A lot of things going on because of the shutdown. We're going to catch up on all of this. Brian, how are you this afternoon?
All good. How are you?
Good. What'd you think of the meeting with Zelensky and Trump this morning? Obviously, Zelensky looks like he wants those Tomahawk missiles. Trump maybe not ruling it out, but he didn't hand them over today, did he? And he still wants negotiations with Putin and Zelensky, but he admitted these two guys don't like each other very much. That might be an understatement.
Yeah, I just don't see. What I'm most encouraged about is he's going to send Rubio to meet with Lavrov. That's what I'm most encouraged about, because that's the guy that understands who Lavrov is. Not Steve Witkoff, who is a great person, fantastic, loyal friend, but goes, "Hey, you seem nice, you know, speak good English." He's going to know exactly who Lavrov is, a long-serving servant who really wants to reestablish the Soviet empire, just like Putin does. So, and how, when the guy's lying is when he's talking. They got to be forced to do something with Russia, and it's only through strength that they'll understand that. And the Tomahawk missiles, they knew it would do such damage to the infrastructure that they had to call. And he had a 2.5-hour conversation with Trump. I talked to Trump this morning, and I said, "Do you think that he is just stringing you out to delay this a little bit more so we could do some more damage because he keeps bombing?" And he said, "Brian, look, I'll give time so to save lives,
right?
But and he could try to make me look bad." But I have ultimate, I'll have control of this whole situation. It's just when we do it. So if I'm him, I would have the Senate vote and pass the massive sanctions. I'd say leave it on my desk. And then I would deliver the tomahawks to Zelensky. He said, can't use unless I tell you. And then I would go meet in Hungary. And I would have some guarantees that Rubio will get from Lavrov or they're not going to have the meeting. Evidently, Witkoff had a back channel to this meeting and in Alaska. And the back channel says Putin's ready to deal. And
yeah,
they trusted
yeah.
it. And evidently, the word was the back channel was lied to. So I mean, okay, I don't know if I believe that, but that's what.
Well, because I heard that's interesting. You know, one of the things that I heard him repeat several times when he was doing the Q&A with Zelensky here just, you know, a couple hours ago was that he said Putin wants a deal. I think Putin wants a deal. So he's confident. Obviously, he's bolstered by what happened earlier this week with the hostages being released. But you can just kind of hear it in his voice. He wants this thing to start moving around. I mean, this was still a couple of months ago when, you know, he and Putin met. So they want to get some things going here. But it seems to be the ball is in Vladimir Putin's court completely right now.
He's totally untrustworthy, and he's losing a lot. And the president mentioned to me, he goes, believe it or not, the thing that's going to move him, he wants to transition out of this economy. And I told him about the trade opportunities that I would give him, and he wants it over. And I go, really? And he goes, Brian, if he's not, we have things we can do. So my thing is he's trying to upend this meeting with Zelensky because NATO had meetings. NATO made their purchases. Through Ukraine. Ukraine says this is the missile defense we need. It's not going to be hodgepodge. This is what we hope to accomplish. And with that, this is the most organized Friday meeting. But out of nowhere, the word comes out that Putin wants to talk. Trump talks for 2.5 hours. So he's smart about doing it. But even I can tell. I'm pretty sure I got to check my resume again. I don't have KGB training. But I could tell what he's up to.
Yeah. I mean,
and so I don't want to insult the president. I just said, Mr. President, my feeling is he just wants to delay your decisions. He wants to, you know, he wants to give you a gray area, and he knows that you want to knock this off of your agenda. But I just think how it ends will decide when it starts again. And he said, his quote to me was, I'm closer to you, your school of thought, than you know. And I go, wow, okay. And then I just talked to General Keane. So there's no two better people to talk to about a conflict that matters so much to our national security. Now, people are listening to us right now who are conservative and are listening to certain podcasts. And they're saying they totally disagree that it's Ukraine's fault, that this really should be part of Russia, and that Vladimir Putin's being reasonable and the West gave him no choice. I have no patience for those people because they're 100% wrong. And I expect more from them. You know, left-wing people like Bernie Sanders, America's always wrong. You know, Israel's always wrong. I expect that from AOC and the squad. But for people that are very learned on these powerful podcasts and that throw this out and, you know, we shouldn't be doing anything with Venezuela, just worry about our own country, don't understand that Venezuela is our own country, that Ukraine does matter to our national security, and that we have energized and got the attention of all our European allies. And so to defend themselves, now they could want to defend themselves, but they're not capable. But soon they'll be able to if we can get them the weapons they want to buy from us. So we got to pick up the pace there for Pete and those guys. Get that manufacturing base going on military. You know, so it all works, and this is all for profit. This is all, you know, we're saving money by stopping Venezuela from trafficking drugs into our country. We're saving money by enforcing the border to not have social programs prop up illegal immigrants. We're saving money and making money by making weapons at a big rate. R&D moves forward, mass manufacturing moves forward, and our enemies, our allies, are capable of defending themselves with our help. This helps everybody.
Brian Kilmeade is back with me this afternoon. What did he say? Did he have an update on anything related to the shutdown? I heard Senator Thune say yesterday, look, we'll have conversations with the Democrats about the ACA subsidies, but we got past the CR first.
Absolutely. Nothing's going to know what they told me. It looks like Thanksgiving.
Really? So a couple of months.
That?
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
That I was hoping it wasn't going to be that long, but you know, no one wants to break at this point. And again, I don't see where the left has leverage here. I really don't.
Either.
Now,
yeah.
we Here's where they might have leverage. Look, you know, if I went, you know, I did this before the show here tonight, Brian, go to the STL Today, which is our local, you know, propaganda paper here in St. Louis. And one of the top stories that's up there is about how, you know, you have a situation where some of the checks aren't going to go to people who need the checks here this weekend or in a couple of weeks. I'm looking for the story right now. Oh, here it is. More than 630,000 Missourians to lose food stamp benefits next month under shutdown. Now, I don't know. I didn't dig into the story, but obviously those types of things are going to be out there. And the Democrats, I think, are hoping that the blame gets shifted to Republicans.
Good luck with that. What they're doing is, you know, speakers out there, other people are out there, you know, getting the message out about the shutdown. So it gets a little redundant after a while. I don't know how much more you're going to add, but they're making it about health care. And what the Republicans got to do is make it, these are pandemic increases that were never supposed to be long term. They were extended because Obamacare has failed and never become affordable. They were supposed to be out there. Market forces were supposed to drive the price of everything down. Instead, the price of insurance has gone up, and they need subsidies in order to make it affordable. So the bottom line is, the thing that you wanted to repeal that's now got people more popular is unsustainable. And that's called Obamacare, created to make a sustainable healthcare system. But the result was, without massive taxpayer subsidies, it doesn't work. And on top of that, no one says, thank God I have Obamacare, because it's the worst health care you can have. High deductibles, doctors aren't happy to see it. And, you know, all of Congress who passed it aren't on it. They have a much better plan.
You know, if only some of us had been warning about some of these things at the time, Brian, you know,
shame.
Yeah,
shame.
Exactly. Hey, you have several options. I think I only have one here in St. Louis. Have you chosen which Hate America rally you're going to attend tomorrow?
Right. I'm going to New Orleans to do a feature with Shaq and Master P.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not going to be able to protest. So my whole family's disappointed. They're going to have to protest without me.
Wait, what are you doing with those guys?
They're doing one's president of Sacramento State College, and the other's president of the University of New Orleans, and they're doing a fundraising game. And I got friendly with Percy, and I got, you know, Shaq's been great. So I just thought, they said if I come down there, I'll get the interviews and see the game. And both of them took over. I figured I'll focus on the college sports, how everything's changed,
yeah,
and the kids are getting paid, and talk about how there's still an academic message. And if you go to Sacramento State, no offense, you're not going pro. And if you go to the University of New Orleans, you're most likely not going pro, but you're a top program. So what is the message to these schools? I just thought these are two role models. Together, it's too much to pass up.
You can call him Percy. I have to call him Master P. You have that direct relationship with him. That's pretty cool.
He wants me to call him Percy because he wants to get the rapper thing done because he's a businessman now. And
Well, that makes sense, right? Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
He's a mogul. I think there's no doubt about that. All right, what's coming up on Sunday night?
I'm going to lead with Eric Trump, going to go to Senator Tom Cotton. I got Sid Rosenberg and John Castamatidis talking about this mayoral debate with national implications and, you know, what it means for the business community. Castamatidis, a self-made billionaire. And then I got my interview with Tim Green, who has got ALS and writes books with his eyes. I updated it. You'll see the package on Sunday. I think it'll be one of the most impressive things you've seen. And it's not because I'm on it. It's because Tim Green's featured on it. And those are the things we're going to be doing this weekend. I'm also at the media segment going to be focusing on with Abby Hornacek, whose dad, Jeff Hornacek, played 20 years in the NBA. But she's a fantastic reporter for us. So, I mean, that'll be the show coming your way Sunday at 9 o'clock your time.
I learned something there. I knew Abby's name. I knew who she is. I did not know that was her father. It makes sense, though. That's a popular name from the past. Brian, have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
We'll get it, Mark.
Brand new show on Apple TV Plus, which I guess they're just calling Apple TV now, called The Last Frontier.
All right, everyone, circle up. We have a down plane 2 miles south from here. It is used to move inmates around the country.
11 are captured, 18 still missing.
This is going to be their one shot at freedom.
Mr. Remnick, Sidney Schofield, CIA.
Pavlov's out there executing a plan. Do whatever it takes to secure the perimeter.
Knock, knock!
Schofield, this is Alaska. There is no perimeter.
That's Jason Clark, who stars, but it also stars Dallas Goldtooth, who plays a marshal in this. He's a Native American actor, and he's here in St. Louis for a visit to talk about The Last Frontier. Dallas Goldtooth, how are you?
Hey, good to be here. I'm here. I'm really happy to be in St. Louis. Lovely place.
Have you been here before?
I have been here once or twice before, years ago, conference stuff.
But you grew up where? In Minnesota, right?
Minnesota, yeah.
Did we consider that? See, there's always this. Is that the Midwest? That's kind of like the northern West, isn't it?
We were just talking about it. I consider it the Midwest. I do consider it. But like, let's just, I don't know if we find commonality here. Ohio is not the Midwest. That's my opinion. That is my hard opinion.
Yeah, Ohio's not the Midwest.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that.
Can we unite with that?
Okay, yes, yes.
Great.
We're on the same page there.
We've solved the problems of this country.
But there is a common sense that kind of rolls through that part of the country from Minnesota on down, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we lose a little bit in Arkansas. I don't know. Nothing, you know, no offense to my friends in Arkansas. So just before we get into the show, a little bit about Dallas Goldtooth, because how did this all get started with you doing acting? And you have a comic background too, right? Comedian?
Yeah. Look, I started doing this. I started making silly YouTube videos with a bunch of friends of mine. That's where it starts with. We started doing making videos. People started asking us to do college shows. We started touring, traveling. Eventually, one of my buddies in our group got a TV show, and that became Reservation Dogs on FX.
Yeah, and that was a big show, and I apologize. I had not seen that, but I heard a lot of great buzz. That was out, like, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah. It came out in 2020, and it ran for 3 seasons. I ended up being a writer on it as well as a performer, and that kind of, like, jumped, you know, was my intro into Hollywood of sorts, but I've always maintained Midwest roots. I live in Chicago from Minnesota, and I landed this gig. Apple TV wanted me. They wanted me to be in the show, The Last Frontier, so here I am.
But it sounds like the acting thing, did it come a little later in life then?
Yeah. No, I've only been doing it since 2020.
Right. And can I ask how old you are?
I'm 42.
Okay. One time I asked Jeremy Piven that question, he got all pissed off at me because I asked his age, so I have to be careful about that. It was very uncomfortable. It's one of the most interesting interviews I've ever done, Dallas, honestly. So thank you for not, like, breaking bad on me for asking your age.
It's all good, man.
But what were you doing before all the acting?
So
the YouTube videos,
what were you doing? We were doing, like, past 15, 17 years was stage sketch comedy, improv comedy, college shows. But my day job was actually, I was an organizer. I worked for an environmental justice organization. I did national organizing with a bunch of frontline native groups who are fighting different forms of extraction. And really my job was supporting frontline communities who are trying to protect their homelands. That was my job as an organizer.
So this show, The Last Frontier, not exactly a comedy show, right?
No, it's a nice, fast-paced action drama thriller.
And it stars Jason Clarke. I've watched, and I apologize, I've only watched about the first 20 minutes of, I think there's two episodes out right now, and then more come out this weekend. So you play Marshall, is that right?
Yeah, so this is the idea. For those that remember, this is The Fugitive meets Con Air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I like that.
It
is. You got it?
You with me? With
me?
Yep,
I am.
So it is a convict transport airplane crash lands in remote Alaska. The U.S. Marshal Service are the ones responsible for such airplanes. So when it crash lands, it is up to the Marshal Service, and I play one of the U.S. Marshals along with Jason Clarke. Our job is to go investigate and find the survivors.
Yeah.
But it turns out one of these survivors is like a rogue CIA secret spy
super
agent.
Bad guy.
And so the story is, who's this guy? Why is he on this plane? And what's the nefarious mission that he's on? And how are we going to save the world kind of vibe? But it's all grounded in community, takes place in Fairbanks, Alaska. We filmed it in Canada, and it's a wild ride, man. It is a truly
so
wild
Alfred,
ride.
Alfrey Woodard plays a character, seeming, and I saw the first part of her entrance into the show. She plays like one of the CIA operatives, right?
Yeah, she's like the head of their department. I love Alfrey.
Did you get to work with her, though?
Yeah, I didn't get to work with her on screen. Wait, no. Yes, there was two scenes.
A little bit?
Later in the season, you see me. She was amazing. I love her. She's like, she's so nice and like, yeah, I was starstruck. I was starstruck by her because she's been in everything.
Well, Jason too. I mean, Jason Clarke, he's a stud, isn't he?
I ain't gonna lie. When I first got the gig, I was like, who's Jason Clarke? And then I saw
his picture. You didn't know his name.
Right. And I saw his face. I'm like, oh, he's in everything.
Yeah.
And I've come to, now I've since become, he's a close friend of mine. He's amazing. He's an actor's actor. He's Australian. Most people don't know that.
Yeah, I knew that because there is an accent there. Yeah.
But he's just such an amazing actor, and he holds it down in the show.
Well, so you mentioned, you know, set in Alaska, filmed in Canada. I'm guessing because there's a lot of snow involved here, Dallas, isn't there? A lot of snow.
Yeah.
Was the snow all real or were there? I'm just curious about that.
The vast majority of the exterior scenes, snow, that we did do some CGI, but the first episode, you see a plane crash action sequence there. It's all in the snow. We filmed it all in location. Apple TV went, you know, no holds bar and trying to make
That opening sequence is
the highly polished, spectacular show that it is.
The mistake that I made, and just because I was trying to cram this in before he came in, is I watched some of it on my iPad. That's a no-no. Well, I got to watch it on my 85-inch, right? Because lots of action.
95-inch. Okay. You got 95, go for the 95.
All right, I'll go for the 95 as well. One thing that made me curious about this show, just because I love what he does, is it looked like Glenn Kessler's name was attached as a producer.
Yes.
And that guy he's just hit after hit after hit, I think.
Yeah, I tell you what, the whole team behind us, the creative team, have there's such a good track record of making good shows. And I think that this show is actually a little bit different than what most people are used to for Apple TV programming, right?
In what way?
It's like, you know, it's a lot of the shows at Apple Plus, nothing against them. Actually, I'm a huge fan of Apple TV shows, but they're very intellectual, very heady. This one is just nice rock'em sock'em action drama.
You need that though, right?
Yeah, you do. I mean, I feel like it really appeals to those of us in the Midwest, just like something that kind of escapes. Hey, it's a bit of an escapism action
That's
piece.
Good, though. We need that.
We kind of sometimes need that in life, right?
No, I think we need a lot. I think we need a lot more right now. You know, one of the things, and you know, I was having a conversation before we started talking with one of the reps from here in St. Louis, and I reviewed films for three decades and went to Hollywood and talked to actors and stuff like that. And I did it because it was a passion of mine, right? I didn't make very much money doing it, but it really was a passion. But I did get to a point, and I know that you've worked on social justice causes, but with films, sometimes it's like, oh my God, can we just have something fun, right? Just something fun that we can say, okay, turn our brains off, because so much in life is so overwhelming.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, I've done the activism, I've done the organizing. It's still a big part of my heart and my drive. Look, I'm also currently advocating. There's a major flooding happening right now in Western Alaska. Supporting.
Nobody knows about that, right?
Nobody knows about
it.
There was the remnants of the typhoon that hit Asia, slammed into Western Alaska. There's thousands of people who have been evacuated. They're refugees right now in Anchorage. It's breaking news. It literally just happened. happened this last weekend. No one is talking about it because Alaska is seen as the frontier. Now, we don't know what's going out there. So this show centers itself in that community, elevates the struggle, and says, okay, we're not going to forget the people here, but also there's a bigger world impact story happening here with these spies and all that stuff. But let's really keep it grounded in the community. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
So the show is called The Last Frontier. Today is Friday. Does that mean there are two more episodes out this weekend?
No. So the first two episodes came out last week.
Last week, okay.
And now every Friday, a new episode will drop all the way up until December. There's 10 episodes. So the last episode is in December.
I seem to be going back to watching, and I kind of like this a little bit. I had some health issues over the summer, so I was like cranking on streaming, right? But there is something fun to having the show released week by week, to have something to look forward to. Or really, I mean that, you know?
No, yeah, I think, look, everyone has a different opinion on whether they want to binge and watch them all at the same time or space it out. This one is every week, and I hope people enjoy it and sit back and relax. And, well, I don't know if you're going to relax. It's a pretty intense show. So have a good time and enjoy the spectacular action sequences that we've laid out in this show. Like the first season, the first episode, we filmed a 6 to 8 minute one take action sequence where we come in on a helicopter, hot land into the crash site, figure out what's going on, and we have to get back to the helicopter.
And I watched that scene.
Yeah.
So that's like a one take deal?
One take. We filmed that all in one take.
Wow. How much, this is a question I had, how much are drones being used now, like in a scene like that?
You know, there was no drones in that shot.
Really?
Whatsoever. There were a couple like establishing shots where they used the drones, but for the most part, it's a person holding the camera that's doing all the work.
That's awesome. Dallas Goldtooth, thank you so much for coming in. The show is called The Last Frontier. It's on Apple TV. It used to be called Apple TV Plus, but they're changing the name, getting real confusing for those of us who have actual Apple TVs that we stream all our stuff through. Have you been, not to get too far ahead of the situation, but have you been renewed for a second season? Do you know?
We have not. So
okay.
we are on hold.
We're going to fix
that.
We're going to fix that this weekend. All right. Who do I need to talk to? I'll get on the horn and we're going to get people in St. Louis to watch The Last Frontier. Awesome to have you in. Thank you so much.
So happy to be.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Well, we're losing a legendary media. Well, he's not going to die. I don't think he's going to die. John Pertzborn, Fox 2 anchor and reporter, is retiring as of next Wednesday. I'm a fan. He listens to this show. I invited John to come in and share some thoughts as he moves on to the next chapter. Again, I don't think he's dying. John Pertzborn, how are you?
I'm doing good, Mark. This is kind of like a debriefing. You're going to help me through this process.
I was going to ask you, is it kind of like a eulogy for a funeral? All these people are kind of saying goodbye to you, right?
It is. That's what it feels like. You know, people say, how do you feel? What's it like? I have no idea. I've never done it before.
Right, exactly.
You know, and I'm too busy to even think that it's all going to end after Wednesday. And that's kind of a weird thought. I'll know Thursday how I feel.
Yeah, so you think you'll be okay with it? Like, you're not just going to sit on your ass, right, moving forward. But look, you've had this existence for a long, long time, right?
Yeah, I just kind of stumbled into this profession as a kid, you know, calling into radio shows.
Yeah, talk about that, because I saw that on the bio a little bit. You're really young, and you start calling radio shows?
Yeah, so this would have been in the early 70s. My brother was in Vietnam, and I was lonely. And I think he did two tours. And, you know, my dad was in politics locally in Dane County, Wisconsin, county board supervisor. And so I was kind of on my own. And I just thought, well, I'm going to call into this radio talk show, because they were big back then. They were on AM. And I called in. I called myself the Canada Kid.
Did you really?
Yeah, I liked the alliteration, you know, and I thought Canada was really cool.
Wait, how old are you at this time?
Let's see, 70, I was about 12.
Okay.
11 or 12.
Well, that makes sense.
And I went to, the malls were new. They just started opening up these malls. And I went into this mall, and there were these people there from Quebec, Canada. And they gave me a little maple leaf sticker. I was into stickers, STP stickers and all this. I thought, that's cool. I want to be Canadian. I want to live in Canada. So I just started calling into these radio stations and just blabbing. And the announcer, I still remember their names because I called one of them recently. Within the last 2 years, and he was an old man, he didn't remember. But I told him this whole story, and I said, you know, you really inspired me. He's like, oh, okay, thanks.
Well, you know, what's funny is I always tend to make things about me, so I'll do that here for a moment as we're talking to you, John. But when I was that age, I was also calling radio stations in Chicago. I would get off school, and I'd call Bob Surratt, who was on WLS at the time. And it was the great disc jockeys.
I remember Bob.
At WLS.
Yeah, he was
and
huge.
Then, you know, it was really weird. One of the names on their early 70s, his guy was named Fred Winston. He's one of the legends up there. Well, when I went on KMOX, Fred lived in I think he's still alive. He lived in Michigan, and he could get the signal up there. So one of the guys that I was like inspired by to get into this business was now listening to me when I was doing some of the late night stuff on KMOX. That was kind of surreal, right?
It was. Well, the one guy's name was Franklin Smith, and that's the guy I called. And I told him this whole story, and you allowed me to come into the radio station one day, and you let me see your entire talk show, and then we went and met the mayor. And I'll never forget, I was in the mayor's room, and all the news reporters were there. And I remember it was during the election when Eagleton was running and the shock treatment and all of that came
out. Oh, yeah,
that
was big deal. Right, absolutely.
And that was the big story. And then the mayor said, well, what did you think? And I went, cool. That's all I could say. You know, I was like, and yeah, it was just, I was mesmerized by this. I remember the guy's car. I remember the cologne. I remember what he was wearing. And I called him up and I said, I just want to tell you, years ago, he goes, I don't remember. He goes, are you Jim's kid? I go, yeah. And he goes, oh, your dad was great.
Oh, he remembered
dad.
Remembered
my dad.
Yeah.
And then it all came together. My dad, he starts telling me this story. He was out on a date with his girlfriend. My dad saw him over there, knew I was interested in radio, and said, hi. Picked up the bill. They went to pay it. The bill was taken care of. He calls my dad to thank him. It says, hey, if I can ever do anything, he goes, well, there is one thing.
Right.
And that's how I ended up on that. I never knew that till years later.
So let's fast forward a little. You end up going to UW in Madison,
right,
for journalism school. Mm-hmm. Then what happens? When you land here in St. Louis? I mean,
so,
you were here 80s, right?
Yeah, 86 I came here. I worked at a CBS affiliate in Madison. And then I left. The recession hit, and I went up to Wausau, Wisconsin, spent 4 months there. When a job opened in Green Bay, and I jumped, I said, I got to take it.
Yeah.
And they gave it to me. And I spent 4 or 5 years there and then came to St. Louis. My father had been coming down to St. Louis for years. Every year, he would go to the White House retreat with a group of men. And it was a retreat house, and I guess they were praying or whatever. But he'd come back, and he was just like super dad for about a month after that. He just walking on air. So I grew up looking at all of these videos, or not videos, I'm sorry, they were 8mm films.
Oh, yeah.
And they would come to St. Louis, they'd go to Stan Musial's Biggies, they'd tie one on, they'd all have drinks, and then they'd drive down to the retreat house. But I remember these films of the Mississippi River and the barges going back and forth. And I was mesmerized as a kid in the 60s. And I just said, I want to move there. I want to live there. And I did. In 86, I got hired at KSDK.
Yeah, you were at Channel 5 for a while, right? Yeah. You did Show Me St. Louis for a while. Is that true?
That came in 95. And yeah, I spent 13 years there.
Then when'd you go to Fox?
In 98.
So how long have you been doing mornings?
Since 98. And I am...
See that?
I'll tell you, that's why I'm
killer.
Retiring.
Yeah,
I get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm living on European time. I listen to the BBC. And I get into work. And I'm usually to bed at 6 o'clock at night.
That early?
Yeah, and I'm asleep by 7.
Man. You know who John Anderson is? Former ESPN anchor.
Right.
Mizzou guy, right? Mm-hmm. So he's back there now in Columbia. He's doing some adjunct professor stuff. And I had never met John, but I went out to dinner with him and the journalism professor, David Kirpius, in the winter to see a basketball game. And I asked John, I said, so why'd you give it up? I mean, he had a big gig. He goes, couldn't do it in the morning again. He had done it his whole career. He said, couldn't do it anymore. I mean, I did mornings, John, at WTMJ, and it wears on you. I can't believe you've done it for that long. I mean, that takes a lot of things out of the mix in the evenings, right, when it comes to life, living life.
Yeah. Meteorologist Glenn Zimmerman was on mornings for years with us, and he said something one day that resonated. He goes, we're all sleep deprived. I'm like, yeah, we're zombies. And he goes, I don't think we could do this job if we weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, like right now, I'm extremely tired, and I'm talking. When I'm well-rested, I'm like a mute. I don't speak. I'm quiet. I'm a little more introverted, but there's something, you're kind of punch drunk when you're lacking sleep. And I don't know how healthy it is. Dr. Ogile at the Clayton Sleep Institute says you're slowly killing yourself.
Oh, see, that's not good, right? That's why you retire.
So, yeah, I got to.
Yeah, John Pertzborn is here. He is retiring next week on Wednesday, his last show on Fox 2 here in St. Louis. So what are those, I'm sure you've been asked this 100 times, the career highlights over all these years? So much has happened in St. Louis during the time that you've been here, sports-wise, news-wise, media-wise.
I was just doing an interview. They've got a special tonight, and I was talking to the producer who put this together. 25 years ago, the death of Governor Carnahan.
Oh, Mel Carnahan, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, has it really been 25 years?
Yeah, that's crazy. And you know what's funny about that?
I wasn't even alive at the time, the producer. I'm like, woo.
I was in Milwaukee. I was doing mornings, John. I'm driving in at 3 in the morning. There's a network newscast. I think we had ABC at the time. And they reported on that story. And I knew Chris Sifford, who was his chief of staff at the time.
He was a great guy.
Wasn't close with him. But that was, that was devastating and a big, big national story.
Yeah, he was Margie Ellis's friend. And she just broke down. But I had the same experience. We were in different parts of the country. I was in St. Louis driving to work. And I'm hearing all of this talk about Mel Carnahan. I'm like, why are they talking so much about him? And all of a sudden... reiterating what happened earlier, he was, and I'm like, oh my God, his son was flying the plane. Yeah, it was just a shocker.
Very, very sad. So let me kind of go back and return to the question about what's next. What is next? Are you just going to flat out retire? Are you going to get away from broadcasting? People like to do podcasts, John. I don't know if you've noticed that. Podcasting. Terrestrial radio people do not like podcasting, but that's what everyone seems to do. So are you going to kick back, play golf, do things like that? Or is something else planned?
Well, my former co-host, Randy Naughton, has contacted me. She says, you've got to come on my podcast. We could do it together. She really loves doing this. I'll come on there.
Stuff like that, maybe, right?
But I just don't have this biological need to be in the public.
That's good, though,
anymore.
I think.
Yeah.
That's healthy.
I mean, when I was younger, it was everything. And now it's just, it doesn't define me. The other thing, I really want to travel. My daughter-in-law's from Ukraine. When that nastiness ends, I want to go to Ukraine. I'd like to go back to Europe and maybe to Asia. I want to travel. I'm planning to go skiing in December out to Vail, Beaver Creek, and places like that.
You got all kinds of plans. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got a buddy just retired from the State Department. So, we haven't been together since college, and we have a lot to talk about. So, we're going to go skiing, and my wife's coming out, and my son and his wife, and we're going to have a good time.
You seem at peace with it, which is good.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
You know, some people come up, is this your decision? I said, no, I'm not being fired. I'm quit. I'm retiring.
Right.
I'm 65. It's time, you know?
Yeah. You know, I always thought that I gave up my movie critic stuff a few years ago. And if you would have asked me before that, could you see yourself ever doing that? And I would be like, no, I'm always going to do this. It's going to be part of the fabric of my life.
Right.
Well, then, you know, the pandemic came and things changed and they started doing these interviews, you know, that you do out in Hollywood on Zoom. I'm totally at peace with it. It's fine. So if anyone wants to give me the chance to retire, just write a check or something like that. I always ask Rex Singfield if he'll write me a check. He hasn't up until this point. All right. So if I ever have to sign off the air when it's my choice, John, I'm totally guessing I'm going to be fired at some point and that's going to be it. But I think, and maybe the audience would be surprised by this, but I'd get emotional. I would get a little choked up. You think you'll be able to do this on Wednesday without getting emotional?
I don't know. Like today, I came close because Timmy Zell is dealing with a horrible
disease. Health issues, right?
And we ran a piece, and it came out of what Margie had done the interview, and that's really what I'm focusing on right now. I'm thinking about Tim.
Yeah,
and there's just so much going on. I have another friend who's not doing well, and it's just their health issues are kind of preoccupying.
Puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it really does.
These are wonderful people. Tim is the heart and soul of Fox 2. So,
and John, you know this. There's no more John Pertzborn that's moving forward. I mean, no one is going to stay in this business for four decades anymore. Media, right? It's changed too much.
I believe I went to the University of Wisconsin Journalism School. I do believe I'm one of the last still in the business from that class. And that was early 80s, 82.
I call myself a survivor in this business, right?
And I didn't even want to really do this. It was just a hobby. I think the same with you.
Yeah, it was just a passion. Yeah. I started music radio, but I segued after journalism school at Mizzou and, you know, then started doing news and tried to figure it out from there. Well, listen, I'm a fan, you know that, and you connected with me pretty early because you knew I had Wisconsin ties having
lived
up there.
We went to lunch, remember?
Yes, of course. Yeah. And we sometimes have tried to get you on the afternoon, but you're taking your naps. But here's an open invitation for you. You know, I do this Reardon Roundtable on Fridays. You can come in and be a member of the panel on the Reardon Roundtable. Now, I must say, John, that 10% of the panelists from the Reardon Roundtable end up in federal prison. So there's a slight risk for you to come on the show because we seem to have, but you're not a politician, so you got that going for you.
Right.
Well, have fun next week. Enjoy retirement. I know I'm going to still hear from you because I hear from you via text when you're listening sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate
it.
Good luck
me.
With everything.
Appreciate it.
Well, the weekend has arrived. It looks like tomorrow's going to be a bit of a washout. You know, Ethan, who is our producer, who does play-by-play for Lindenwood, they have a big game tomorrow, you were saying. And, you know, I got this email from Harris Stowe earlier. They canceled all their homecoming because of the weather.
Ooh.
But good luck getting in a game tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. They're playing the number 8th ranked team in the FCS. The FCS has already said it's the game of the week.
And who is that? Who's
that's
the team?
Tennessee Tech, conference
Tennessee Tech,
opponent.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's supposed to thunderstorm for like 8 hours straight tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't know how they're going to get it. What's going to happen?
I hate it when football gets canceled because of rain. But if you have severe weather and storms and stuff like that, that's not
a good they don't like lightning thing. When you're out there.
Now, can I tune in somewhere to listen to your play-by-play, like if there is a game?
The radio broadcast, which I am on, is on 89.1 KCLC.
Oh, good to know.
And that
and
probably
the
has about the same wattage
ESPN
as
Plus.
The one that I worked at when I was 15 years old, 10
probably.
Watts or something like that. But you sound great on it. All right,
we've
got to do this.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I don't know where to go here. I guess I got to make it short. You know, there was a big meeting at the White House today, and the president answered a lot of questions about Ukraine. Zelensky was right there in the room. The media was actually behind Zelensky. Zelensky wants Tomahawk missiles. Trump's not ruling that out, but not really prepared to say, yeah, let's give them to you right now. Is it leverage with Putin?
President Trump, I don't mean to be brokering an arms deal here, but is that something that you would be interested in, Ukrainian drones?
We are, yeah, we would. We have a lot of drones right now. We build our own drones, but we also buy drones from others. And they make a very good drone. I mean, drone warfare has really come to the fore over the last couple of years because of this war.
Then there's the mayor's race in New York. We're getting down to the wire a couple of weeks away. They'll vote for this communist. But Andrew Cuomo, and I guess you still had Sliwa in there last night.
Abolish jails, no new carceral facilities, don't enforce misdemeanors. And you're on the bill in Albany as a sponsor to decriminalize prostitution.
We haven't heard Governor Cuomo say the word affordability. That's why he lost the primary. That's why he'll lose the general election.
The president is going to back down to you, Andrew Cuomo. I know you think you're the toughest guy alive, but let me tell you something. You lost your own primary, right? You were rejected by your Democrats.
I love Curtis Sliwa because he's the real New Yorker in the group. You know, he was the guy with
the, what was the damn thing called? The Guardian Angels. Remember, I kept talking about that from
right.
the 80s. That
yes.
was Lisa Sliwa and Curtis Sliwa. And he's the perennial New York mayor's candidate. Have a great weekend, Sue.
You too.
We'll talk on Monday afternoon at 3.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
they
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.